Okay, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 26. Let's stand, all right, as we just read this one verse. 1 Corinthians 11, 26. Afterwards, we're taking the Lord's Supper. Just one verse. And I just want to remind us of the Lord's Supper. Okay? And children, I want us to pay attention too, because as you grow up, you'll be partakers of the Lord's Supper for those who will be baptized. Okay, those who are younger, remember, it is not just something that old people take, older people take. It's a very important institution that Jesus gave us. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. Okay, ready? One, two, go. For as often as he eat this bread and drink this cup, he do show the Lord's death till he comes. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, in a moment, we're going to be partaking the Lord's Supper. And Lord, it was such an important ordinance in the early church. We know that in the Bible, many times you said they broke bread. We know that eating is actually a fellowship, a time of social interaction between the church members. And Father, in thy word, it is seen as a very important part of the life of the church, whereby the church people eat together. But we know, Lord, that you also instituted specifically the Lord's Supper for specific reasons. Oh Lord, tonight help us to always remember why you did that. And today, may our hearts, Lord, as we close this year with the Lord's Supper, at least today, we pray, Lord, that you help us always to remember this important feast that you have given to the local church to remember till you come. Speak to our hearts through these words, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Okay, the background of this passage today is just listening, right? You don't have to do anything but just listening, just give you some thoughts on the Lord's Supper. The background of this passage is that the Corinthian church were desecrating the significance and purpose of the charity feasts. Okay, during the time of the Corinthian church, or early church, there's this thing called a charity feast, love feasts, whereby all the people will gather together and they'll bring food and Christians just fellowship and just share with one another. But the Corinthians, rich people, were a little bit looking down on the poorer people. Okay, those who are poorer would come and they would eat the things that the rich would bring. Over time, the rich people begin to be a little bit, hey, how come we bring the food, then the poor people just eat our food? That's not very nice. And so what the rich people did was they decided that they're going to bring the food and keep to themselves and eat all the food before the poor people come. Okay? Paul actually had to write to correct this because he's saying, why are you guys rich people shaming the poor people who don't have anything? And so in this sense, the charity feast is not relegated to nothing more than feasting for the rich and how they despise the poor, okay? Which was why Paul had to write 1 Corinthians 13 to teach them about love. The Corinthians had forgotten the purpose of the Lord's Supper. They have replaced what they wanted with what the Lord intended. They have replaced the Lord's Supper with what they wanted, enjoyment for themselves, and they neglected what the Lord intended, okay? And so there's a little booklet which I read before. It's like there was this mom who took a lot of effort cooking a piece of steak. Okay, how many of you like steak? Amen. All the steak eaters. Okay? I'll recommend Lori's if you want to go. but it's a once in a lifetime experience. But anyway, so there was this picture about this boy. The mom really worked very hard to cook the piece of steak for the boy. Okay, you know what the boy did after the mom serving the steak and everyone was seated down? The boy took the steak, gave it to the dog. The mom said, what are you doing? He said, I'm not hungry. Okay, the boy forgot that mom cooked that steak for him. Okay, and he just gave it to the dog just because he wasn't hungry. Okay, sometimes we would make decisions that reflect that what we have forgotten. We will make decisions that reflect that we have forgotten what is the purpose for the situation. I think many times we are always, for some consultants or we maybe in certain situations, they will always tend to want us to ask these questions. We need to remember why are we here for. We need to remember why are we here for. And many times, I think as Christians, especially in Singapore, we are so chock-a-block with appointments, sometimes we forget why we do certain things. Okay? And I believe the Lord wants us to just remember today why we partake the Lord's Supper. And how can we ensure that we honor this? Do you realize the Lord's Supper is a very important institution of the local church? There's only two. What are the two ordinances of the local church? Number one, baptism. And number two, the Lord's Supper. There's only two ordinances that Jesus insisted, or rather commanded the church to remember. And so the Lord's Supper is actually a very important part of the local church. Okay? So as you look at 1 Corinthians 11:26, I give you three thoughts on the Lord's Supper. Number one, the Lord's Supper is a commemoration of the past. It's a commemoration of the past. It remembers the past. The Bible says in verse 8, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup. In the Lord's Supper, there are how many elements? Two. The bread and the cup. The bread, in the bread which was broken, what does it remind us of? The broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The pain and the anguish that the Lord Jesus had to go through. For who? For us. Okay, for us. His punishment and the agony of the pain. Then the second element is the blood. The blood, the Bible says, is the blood that was shed to forgive our sins. The Lord's Supper was given for us as forgetful people to remember what the Lord has done for us. The pain of the scourge, the piercing of the nail, and the agony of the crucifixion. And I dare say, you know, one of the things, one time I was listening to someone, and this evangelist was saying, when was the last time we ever thought about Calvary? When was the last time in our own Christian lives, this week, as we are busy with the things, oh yeah, well, we think about God, we think about how God is helpful to us, but do we actually stop and think about Calvary, what Jesus have done for us? And I believe with all my heart, God put that in, this Lord's Supper, just to help us remember Calvary. Okay, we are sinners going to hell. We were undeserving and foolish, fighting God and fighting His grace, yet the life of Christ was given that we might have life. The Lord Jesus gave His life that we might live. Okay? So number one is actually a commemoration of the past. When someone who is dear to us passes on, okay, maybe pass away, we will want to remember this individual, won't we, would we not? Okay? However, when you realize that this person has actually done something for you, you will ensure that you will make time to be at a place to remember this person and what this person has done for us. Would we not? The Lord Jesus had died for us and rose again. The Lord's Supper reminds us of what the Lord has done for us. It is a commemoration of the past, what Jesus has done for us. May we be close, so close to the Lord that we will remember, that we will make time to commemorate what He has done, number one. Number two is a proclamation of the present, for the present. The word show there, say, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death. The word show there literally means to announce, to proclaim. Okay? So every time we actually partake of the Lord's Supper, it proclaims the Lord's death today. There are many ways that God has given us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? And through our tracting, through our sharing of the gospel, through our weekly services. And one of the ways that God actually gave was actually through the Lord's Supper, to physically remind us of the night that Jesus was betrayed and why He had to do all that. Is a proclamation of His death, burial, and His resurrection. When we partake the Lord's Supper, we are proclaiming the gospel that we believe in. That's why it's important to be a church member and to be participating in the Lord's Supper. Okay? We affirm our belief in the Lord's death and resurrection. We affirm that our Savior is a living Savior. We affirm that it is through His resurrection that we have eternal life and we have the hope of life everlasting. It's a proclamation. When we partake the Lord's Supper afterwards, remember there's a lot of meaning attached to this simple ordinance. It is to proclaim the present, the Lord's death, till He comes. And number three, it is a prediction of the future. We do show the Lord's death. How long? Till He comes. Till He comes. We are predicting the future, that the Lord Jesus Christ, true to His word, will come again. Jesus will come again. The Lord's Supper is the proclaiming of the hope that we have in Christ, that one day He will come again. It is said that the fact, listen, now this is very important. It is said that the fact that the Lord's Supper is in existence today is actually testimony to what happened on the night that Jesus was betrayed. Because Jesus says, as often as He eat it in remembrance of Me, and as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the what? Lord's death, how? Till He comes. It is a testimony, it is a lasting, permanent legacy to what Jesus did at the Last Supper, all the way to the fact that we can take it today. It is a continuation of what Jesus has already started, and we are to continue this till He comes, okay? When we partake the Lord's Supper, we are proclaiming the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Okay. So for those who just come, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. Now it's application time, okay? Firstly, 3,000 Lord's Supper is looking forward, is looking back to the past, what Jesus has done for us. It's proclaiming for the present, that it affirms our belief in the Lord's death and resurrection. And number three is a prediction for the future, till He comes, okay? As we close, in application, before we take the Lord's Supper, how do we partake the Lord's Supper? For the year 2013, let's encourage one another to be faithful at the Lord's Supper. I know that sometimes during the things may change, okay, because when we move into a discipleship group, no longer will we meet like this on Friday nights, okay? We have to pray about when we're going to start that. But once that happens, we will actually meet once a month for the Lord's Supper. When every Friday you have your own discipleship groups, but once a month all the discipleship groups will come together in one locality to take the Lord's Supper, okay? Hopefully that will be a time of just encouragement, and just the plan is for different DG groups to take different months so that they can be in charge of song leading and put an item. And so as we partake the Lord's Supper, it will be a time of celebrating what God has done for us and also remembering what He's done, okay? I want to encourage us. Baptism is important. The Lord's Supper is equally important. We're here for the Lord's Supper because it is the Lord's Supper. It is not our supper. It is not, we come as, it is an appointment that God has already indicated for the local church to participate in. And so when the church decides, okay, on the first week or whenever it's decided, okay, we will actually set it down aside, say, Lord, this is an important ordinance of the local church. Lord, I will make sure I will be there. Okay, number one, come and celebrate the oneness we have as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, in the doctrine of the local church, the Lord's Supper is a very important principle for us, or ordinance for us to partake, because it actually reflects that we are one family. It's very important. Sometimes you have family dinners and all that kind of thing. I think I shared this before. There was one grandfather who called all the, because he seldom have dinner with his family members, and so all the family members were called for dinner. Okay, you want to translate as we go? Okay, so but the grandfather, after one look at all his families, he walked out. And the reason why he walked out was he was thinking in his mind, I asked you all to come back for dinner, and everyone is busy with their WhatsApp and Facebook during the dinner. Then the grandfather got fed up and stood up and walked off. And one person said, no, probably the grandfather got fed up because no one WhatsApped him. So he walked alone. But you know, we come in a day and age whereby we are all, Singaporeans are very individualistic. But when God gave the local church, is with the Lord's Supper, it's actually eating it together. Okay? When we take the Lord's Supper, we're actually affirming the fact, God, you have put us in this family and God is important. And I'm going to celebrate this as a oneness, celebrate it as one church. Okay? Number one. Number two, be present for every Lord's Supper. Determine in your heart, unless providentially hindered, unless something happens to you that you cannot come. Be present for every Lord's Supper. Thirdly, realize the significance of the Lord's Supper, which is to show the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection. There is deep meaning. We don't just partake of the food. There's deep meaning. And number four, lastly, realize the Lord Jesus is coming again and that we are to partake of the Lord's Supper till He comes. It's a remembrance of the gospel. It's a remembrance of what Jesus has done for us till the time He comes. If you don't remember, just remember this. The title of today's message is A Constant Reminder. The Lord's Supper is placed by the Lord for us as a church to constantly remember what He has done for us. You know, sometimes as Christians, we forget what Jesus has done for us. We're all forgetful. How many of you remember what you ate for lunch today? Joseph, what did you eat for lunch today? Okay, good. Who else? Jared, what did you eat for lunch today? Have lah, you did eat lah, eat bread lah. Okay, some really forget what they eat for lunch. They just eat and forget. You know, because we're forgetful people, we're so busy with the things of life. I believe very much God put the Lord's Supper, I'm very convinced, because He knows you people are going to be forgetful. I'm going to put the Lord's Supper to remind you. You know, that's God's grace. That's really God's grace. Because otherwise, we will forget what God has done for us. Okay? I'm reminded of Noah's, you know, the rainbow? You know why God put the rainbow? Huh? Okay, that He will not flood, okay, He will not actually flood the whole world, right? Who was the sign for? The 9 verse 12. Let's, we'll read from 12 to 15, okay? I'll read verse 12, I'll read verse 13, then we will find out. No, wrong, until 12, 16. Okay, 16. Verse 12, and God said, this is the token of my covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. Verse 13. In me, in the earth. Verse 14, and it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, and the bow shall be seen in the cloud. Verse 15. Verse 16, and the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it that I may remember. Who was the sign for? The sign is actually for God. You know, God is so gracious, but you know, of course, it's for us to remember. Okay, but whenever the rainbow comes out, the Bible says that this will be for perpetual generation, permanent. Even up to today, we still see the rainbow because it's in the Bible. God put it there for, I want to say for us, for him to remember that he's not going to flood this earth again. But you know what? It reminds us that this world is not going to be flooded, but this world is going to be burnt. The second coming of Christ. But coming back to the remembrance part, God doesn't forget. But for us, God insisted the local church, remember the Lord's Supper, remember what I've done for you, remember this until I come. If as a Christian you ever forget why you become a Christian, remember the Lord's Supper, because it is there. Remember Calvary. The very basis foundation of your Christian life is what Jesus has done at Calvary. And God wants us to remember that. So as we close the year, reflect on God's goodness. Reflect on God's goodness of what he has done for us as we partake the Lord's Supper. All right? Any question? Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper. We ask you, Lord, to work in our hearts to put the Lord's Supper as a permanent fixture in our hearts this night. That God, we will always remember this important institution that you have given to the local church to observe to the time you will come. Lord, we want to be obedient to whatever you tell us. But more than anything, going past the obedience part, Father, we want to do it because we love you, because you first loved us. Lord, we remember the bread that was broken, the body that was broken for us because of our sin. We are reminded, Lord, through the emblems, the blood that was shed for our sins. And Father, I pray that every one of us, as we begin to reflect on this, that God, we will say in our hearts, God, thank you for what you have done. And that God, we will never forget the grace and the whole drama of redemption and what you have done so that you might save us from the depths of hell and from sin. And Lord, even right now as we prepare our hearts to partake the Lord's Supper, I'm asking you, Lord, to really burn this truth into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that we will remember not just the Lord's Supper, but remember you. We thank you for your love, Lord. We praise you. We extol you, God. Lord, as a church, we lift you up on high where you belong, because you deserve all praise, all glory, all worship. And Lord, as we prepare our hearts to partake the Lord's Supper, we ask you to search deep into our hearts. With your eyes closed, heads bowed, let's just spend the next few moments preparing our own hearts, okay? In confession of sin, if necessary, if God brings anything up. And then in a few moments, I will pray, and then after that, we'll go ahead with the Lord's Supper. Moments, Lord, in quiet prayer before you, before we partake of the Lord's Supper. You teach us in your word, Lord, that we are not to partake of the Lord's Supper unworthily. That God, we are to have a reverential attitude, realizing we are not just having a Lord's Supper, but we're coming before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, to observe a most important, most significant ordinance. Lord, as we come, we know that we are sinners. We know, Father, that there is no way we can meet up to your high standards of holiness, your perfect standard of holiness. But we thank you most of all for the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you have freely given to us that we might be able to have eternal life with the blood that was shed, the body that was broken for us. Lord, we know that in a moment as we partake of the Lord's Supper, the bread and the blood, our emblems are symbolic of what you have done for us. Father, we confess our sin before you now, individually. Lord, we ask you to cleanse us personally from all unrighteousness. Lord, for every church member who are here who have confessed their sin, I pray you wash us clean from our iniquity. But God, collectively as a church, we confess our sins. And Lord, our neglect many times of the duties that you have given to us. Lord, the times that we should have done more, the times that we should have refrained from moving forwards because your Holy Spirit did not tell us to do certain things. God, may we as a church realize how important it is for us to be led purely by Christ and to be governed by the Holy Spirit. Father, we ask your forgiveness and help us, Lord, from this day forth, as every church member individually, to take responsibility, Father, for our personal relationship with you, that through the voting, through the service, we might walk in line with the Holy Spirit and your plan for ambassador. Lord, it is you who have given your life for the church, Father, we do not take it lightly. And so, Lord, we ask your forgiveness. Cleanse us as a church for all unrighteousness. God, help us to always fulfill your word according to your will. And Father, this night as we partake the Lord's Supper, we thank you. We thank you for the free grace you've given to us. The body that was broken, the blood that was shed. Lord, is a constant reminder for us of your great salvation. I pray that every child who is here will remember this. And that when they would ask their parents, why are we eating the Lord's Supper? That every parent would be able to share with their children the grace of God. And that every one of us, not just parent to child, but even Sunday school teachers to the children, and that we will be able to express our love for you, even in this manner. So Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do as we partake the Lord's Supper. We pray you open our hearts and our minds, that God, we will partake it meaningfully tonight, as one free from sin because of what Jesus has done. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, please stand as we read the church covenant.